it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're joined by Mia O'Brien, who's joining us on the River Islands guest line. Covers the Jaguars, does a lot of good stuff for ESPN Radio, at Mia O'Brien TV on Twitter. And Mia, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky here. And we've been talking about the biggest news of the day, of the last 24 hours, really, in Ninerland. It is the Brock Purdy injury, and the latest from Ian Rappaport, he's going to be out 2 to 5 weeks. So that brings us to Mac Jones. And now this is a guy that Niner fans are very familiar with, only because 4 years ago, the Niners made a big trade, Mia, as you know, in the draft with the Dolphins, moving up to the number 3 overall pick in that now infamous quarterback class. And a lot of people, me included, thought, oh, Kyle wants Mac Jones. That's the guy he wants. It's not Trey Lance. It's not Justin Fields. It's Mac Jones. So as I bring you on here, who is Mac Jones now, and how did he look last year filling in for Trevor Lawrence?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start with this. Joe number two, great to meet you. Joe number one, it's been a hot minute. I don't think I've joined you guys since the morning roast got a little bit of a facelift. Shout out to Bonta, though. I think I may have to have him on my pod in a few weeks when the Jaguars and the Niners square off. Although he's covering the Warriors,
though. You don't need
to
do that, Mia. Don't gas up. His head's big enough, Bonta Hill, that you don't need to do that.
I got to show some love.
Oh, is he?
Mia, I'm a little offended. I'm number two, by the way. No, he's number one? I'm the HR.
Well,
come on.
First. He's the butcher boy. He came first. I gotta give it to Jonah. I'm shocked you guys didn't change the name of the show to the Morning Joe. Well, I guess that's copyright, but that's a story.
Exactly.
Mac Jones. Yeah. Great to be on with you boys. Always love hopping on the morning roast. Mac Jones. So uniquely equipped to answer that question because, of course, Mac Jones is also from Jacksonville, Florida. Went to the Bowl School, one of the most preeminent private schools in the area and in the state of Florida. Played for Corky Rogers, the all-time winningest high school coach in the state of Florida. Then goes to play for Nick Saban after initially being committed to Kentucky. A helicopter apparently landed on Bowles' field with Nick Saban in it. And that was like what swayed the tide. That's why he went to the Tide. Anyways, just to give you kind of the genesis of this, we've been covering Mac forever, and I've only been here since 2018, but I've gotten to know a lot of the people that made Mac during his time here in Jacksonville, for better or worse. His coaches and his teachers at the Bowl School, I've gotten to spend some time actually with his kindergarten teacher and his fifth grade teacher, who he still keeps in touch with, visits their class each and every year. I mean, they love the kid. There are a lot of folks in town who will tell you that, you know, he was a little bit of a punk because he grew up in a tennis playing family and had a lot of resources, we'll call it. I never got that air or that vibe from Mac. Now, granted, part of that is because the most extensive time that I spent with Mac Jones was during the 2024 season, in which the Jaguars won 4 games and Mac Jones had just been let go by the New England Patriots, who had selected him in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft. And so obviously he'd been knocked down a few pegs by the time that I was spending extensive time with him. And so I never got that air of, you know, privilege or uppity on the guy. I never sensed that from Mac Jones. And I never sensed that in talking to my contemporaries who covered him at the University of Alabama. He never carried himself with that air, at least once he assumed a starting role after Tua Tagovailoa, his injury, and then he had moved on. And so Mac is he's a funny guy. I'll tell you that much. We'll start with that. Then we can kind of go into what we saw last year with the Jags and why I believe, yes, to your point, Joe, too, he is what Kyle Shanahan historically has had under center, which is a quarterback who will do exactly what he asks him to do. Mac is funny. He is got one of the loudest, snort, obnoxious laughs a la Kirk Ferentz that I've ever seen. But dudes in the locker room love him. They love his energy. They love his bubbliness in the huddle. They love that he can be goofy but serious at the same time. So I do think he instills confidence in his team, even if he doesn't have the flashy traits of another quarterback in the National Football League with more God-given ability, like Trevor Lawrence or, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, any of those top four guys in the league. So I do think in terms of a backup role, he's exactly what you want. Although I have a question for you guys. How healthy is Mac? Because didn't he suffer an injury in the preseason?
Yeah, he hurt his knee, and we don't really know. But he looked glorious in an all-red suit week 1 walking in.
We don't know.
I mean, I saw him at practice prior to the injury. I thought he looked really good, but he's going against twos. So let me ask you this. From last year, from what you saw with the Jaguars, how did he move behind the pocket with that offensive line? You know, there's a lot of offensive line questions with the Niners right now. And part of what makes Brock very special is he can kind of offset some of their inefficiencies on the offensive line with his movement behind the line. Did Mac hold the ball long? Did he move the pocket well? Just break down what he did behind the O-line last year with the Jaguars, because I'm trying to conceive what it might look like this weekend.
Yeah, the Jaguars' offensive line was much maligned last year. I don't think it was actually as poor as a lot of statistical indicators would like for you to believe or fans here in Jacksonville. Ultimately, I thought he navigated the pocket for what it was fine. One thing that James Gladstone and Liam Cohen talked extensively about when they got here to Jacksonville was fortifying the inner plate and setting the plate and setting the table of that inner three of the offensive line at the center and then the two guard positions. Last year for Jacksonville, that was Ezra Cleveland and two old heads and Brandon Scherff and Mitch Morse, both of whom have now retired. And so the Jaguars have fortified that part of their offensive line, and it paid early returns this past week with Robert Hainsey and Patrick McCary stepping into those two spots. With the old heads last year, though, I thought Mac played fine for all intents purposes. He also, and this is going to be, if I can dare it a little kangle, dangle a little carrot. It's earlier for you guys than me.
Good.
I should be able to speak right now.
That's pretty dangle good. I like that.
Dangle a little carrot for Niners fans out there. There's a lot of stats that have people in Jacksonville panicked with regards to the Brian Thomas Jr. success his rookie year and the fact that 500 plus of his 1,000 plus receiving yards from a year ago came with Mac Jones as the quarterback, not Trevor Lawrence. He really didn't become the focal point of the offense until the midway point. And even then, in Trevor Lawrence's third to last game, technically, against the Green Bay or against the Philadelphia Eagles, because that was the game he got hurt, I think BTJ had like two targets total. So like, it wasn't just because Brian Thomas Jr. hit his stride when Trevor Lawrence had already been hurt and was out for the season. I think it was also because the offensive play calling perhaps didn't recognize that, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. could potentially be a top five wide receiver in the National Football League. And so Mac Jones was the beneficiary of that. But to his credit, he made the throws to Brian when he had to. And of course, after this past week, there's a lot of panic here in Duval about, oh my goodness, do Trevor and Brian not have that chemistry? Because Mac certainly did. In terms of his mobility, I know you guys were just talking about it. Brock Purdy is sneaky athletic. I think Mac Jones is not as athletic, but has that same sneaky athleticism. He can escape the pocket if he has to. He's not going to be a statue back there. The Jaguars, for all their issues last year, they didn't give up a ton of sacks, and that was something that the previous regime really hung their hat on. And that was also a stat that for the previous two seasons, it was this notion of, well, Trevor Lawrence is able to escape pressure, and he's sack-proof, and he helps his offensive line because he doesn't take sacks. But even with Mac under center last year, they still didn't give up a whole heck of a lot of sacks. I don't know, chicken or the egg, if that was because of Mac or because of the line itself. But for all intents and purposes, this team had other issues besides Mac Jones after Trevor Lawrence went down. He was not the problem by any stretch of the imagination. If anything, he gave us a few highlights, and he also gave us some highlights, again, just with his bubbly personality. You should go look up the video of him running like the pseudo obstacle course and like bouncing a ball at Press Taylor, the former offense coordinator, here's head. That probably was an omen of what was to come. Point being, like, Mac is one of those guys who's not afraid to call you out on your BS either. And I heard that from multiple people in the building. And I think that that matches with the synergy of Kyle Shanahan.
Talking with me, O'Brien, here on the Morning Roast. Talking Jaguars football. Why? Because, well, Mac Jones started a bunch of games for them last year, and it looks like he's going to be starting down in New Orleans in week two with Brock Purdy having the turf toe injury. Joe, I was thinking about just real quick before I throw to you. I know a lot of Niner fans, and it's funny you say like the sneaky athleticism. The only reason Niner fans, I think, did not want to draft Mac Jones, Kyle Shanahan, that is, a couple of years ago, was that pick that came out after Alabama won the championship with his shirt off. And he's got a little pudge. But you know what?
So does Mahomes.
That's okay.
Bingo.
I don't want my quarterbacks jacked. Right, Mia? Come on.
Mm-hmm. No, Mahomes has got a dad bod, so who cares? I mean, you know, like Josh Allen's probably going to showcase it here in a couple of years, too. Yeah, like,
look at that.
You can have a life outside of football. Like, you need to be a maniac when you're in the building, which, by the way, I think Mac Jones is. I also think that the real reason that I have belief that this is going to work, even if it's just for a four-game spell or however long Brock is out, whether it's one game, you know, goes on short-term IR, whatever it is, the reason I believe it'll work and the reason that I believe that Kyle Shanahan first did consider taking Mac Jones with that third overall pick is because he is every other quarterback that has had success in this Shanahan system. He will do exactly what you ask him to do. If anything, and again, I don't have this from the horse's mouth, but from comments that were made, I think that Doug Peterson felt more comfortable with Mac Jones later in the season because Mac Jones did exactly what he asked him to do. And Trevor Lawrence wanted to have more of a conversation of like, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that. And Doug and Press Taylor were like, no, we want to operate in the structure.
Mia, you are on fire. You're one of my favorite guests, and you're giving the opinions. That's what I love about it. They play the Jaguars in a couple weeks. Mm. Hypothetically, he plays in that game, Mac Jones. And let's say they go 1-1. They beat the Saints. They lose to the Cards. I'm talking about the Niners. And we got Jags, Niners. Are the Jags licking their chops to face Mac Jones?
Yes.
Or is Mac Jones licking his chops to face the Jags?
Both. Because this is a kid who, if you love the picture of him with the dad bod, you also need to go find the picture of Mac Jones in a Blake Bortles jersey. He grew up a Jags fan. Like, for him to even be the backup quarterback, and go look it up, Joe. You like, trust me, you'll see it. I'll text it to you guys. Like, it's real.
Oh, I have it right here. Yeah, it's
good.
Great.
See,
this is good
you
stuff.
Find it.
Yeah,
right. And you can pull that up because you guys are on video now. So, point being, for Mac, I think that he would be licking his chops, but also I think that Mac understands why the previous regime was blown up. And because he is a lifelong fan of not just the Jaguars, but of the city, I think he's happy to see many of his former teammates in a good position right now. And again, we'll see what happens the next 2 weeks here for the Jaguars as well. I mean, look, you know, it's great that you bulldozed the Carolina Panthers, but you got to go play with the big boys of Joe Burrow and the Houston Texans the next 2 weeks. Now, personally, I do think that the Jaguars, with the infrastructure that they've set up, will compete in both those games. I can't guarantee you dubs, although I'm feeling good about this weekend, but I'm actually feeling good about the Jaguars matchup with the Bengals for the same reason that as I see the bottom line coming across here on the morning roast, I'm fascinated by the offensive line health in San Francisco, much like I'm fascinated by the offensive line health in Cincinnati right now, coupled with what does the secondary in both those locales look like, because I would argue it could be the Achilles heel for both defenses. And in turn, that's an area that if you can get Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. operating on the same page, you could absolutely exploit in both weeks 2 and week 4 if you're the Jags.
Hey, Mia, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning. We'll definitely do it again in a couple weeks when the Niners do play the Jags, and we'll follow up there, and we'll find out about the Mac Jones era in San Francisco. Good stuff, Mia.
Absolutely. And no, but for real, though, I'm going to text Sam because I will need one of you, at least one of you, if not all of you, to join. Maybe we'll get everybody.
Yeah,
and we'll
do a
family edition of Club 904, which is the new Jaguars podcast I'm doing with Action Sports Jacks, our CBS affiliate. So because I don't know if you guys got the memo. So I'm actually now with ESPN Radio. So quick
Let's
plug.
Go.
Be on tonight with Q Myers. So you can follow me there. Also on Monday night, but then flying to Cincinnati tomorrow morning. I don't sleep anymore, but you know I always got time for you boys.
Welcome to my
world. Yeah, we don't sleep either, Mia. Good stuff. We appreciate it.
See ya.
Always great hanging out with you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.